You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, episode 59 for Wednesday, February 18th, 2009. Tough times? No problem. Glad you joined us, Sally. Good morning.
Hi, Martin. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Just happy to be podcasting again. Hopefully we can talk about some things that will help our listeners understand about a little bit more about technology and how that intersects and can impact their ministry.
Yeah, I'm excited about today's topic, Martin. As we were preparing for it, it seemed like it was kind of going to be a best of show for us because we've talked about a lot of these different items that we're going to bring out in our discussion, but pulling them all together really gives us a vision of how we can survive these tough economic times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of stuff on the internet these days, isn't there? I think every other blog post I'm seeing is how to survive in tough times.
Right. And I guess to that end, even our Synod is feeling those tough times. I'm sure many of our listeners subscribe to the Together newsletter and saw the news that came out just this week, you know, about tough times economically for us at the Synod office building as well. So, you know, we're all feeling the crunch and we're all looking for ways to shore up and make it through these difficult times.
Yeah, a couple good news items on that end, though, is we have a gracious God, and He has not changed, and I think He still desires us to do ministry and to do it effectively and be good stewards of our time and our resources. Second piece of good news is that there are some things on the technology front that we can do to save money, to save time, to kind of make it through any economic recession, if that's what we're in. And that's what we're going to talk about.
That's right. I was just reading a blog post came out on February 11th from Chris Brogan. And he's a blogger out there. He's kind of in touch with the social media aspects and really promoting marketing and things through social media. And he wrote a blog post titled, How to Win in a Recession Like a Ninja, which kind of caught my eye. I got a few little ninjas running around my house. So, and basically what he's saying that, how to win against impossible or very improbable odds, if the tide's really turned against you or whatever, it's kind of hard to hold back all the economic rush that's coming at us right now. And he compares that to not being able to defend against a charging samurai. So, put yourself in that mental place. And what his recommendation is what the ninja would do, and that is to kind of disengage from the battle, to take a step back from where you are today, get a different viewpoint of what you're ministry efforts are in this case, and figure out ways to do it better, look for opportunities that you're missing out on. I think we definitely can relate to that.
Oh, yeah. As I mentioned, there's great news on the technology front, and I think the blog post kind of alludes to that, is we live in a time where a lot of the things that are coming out in the technology space are low cost or no cost. And we're just going to go over a few of those things as it relates to communication and outreach. And there's really no reason for, let's say, a church to hunker down, as it were, or a school to hunker down when it comes to technology if they're smart about it. They can continue to use technology tools for ministry if they just, first of all, listen to this podcast, which great move on anybody and all of our listeners at this point. As we go through this list, a lot of it's just common sense and just keeping your eyes and ears open, seeing what's out there, making smart decisions about what to use, what not to use, even down to, and we're not just talking about Web 2.0 tools, but even things that you can do to extend the life of your hardware, free software, et cetera, that I think is going to make survival, I guess, in these times a very positive thing as it relates to outreach or management or those kinds of things.
That's right. So maybe we should dive into some of those great ideas.
Where do you want to start?
Well, right off the top of my head, the idea came up of communication and just how greatly we can improve our communication, get away from making loads of paper copies and mailing cost and maintenance of a copier and all those kind of things by using a website, using maybe just simple email communication instead of printing out things, using Google and Yahoo groups. We've talked about this in past episodes, that you can just really get the news out even quicker than you would with print, and more effectively, really. You know, you're in their email box, which is what everybody's tuned into these days.
Right. Just reading some statistics from the Pew Internet folk, and they do surveys almost every year on broadband adoption and who's watching videos and so on and so forth. Study, I think the midsummer last year I was looking at recently, showed that 55% of all adults now have high-speed internet connections in the home. And I think that's a real positive direction. And I think that number is probably even higher and will go higher, you know, as we you know, move through this year. And that means that there's some things that you can do on the internet via communication tools on your websites using video and such that could potentially save your congregation a lot of money when, as you say, one of the biggest line items in a budget, especially for schools, but certainly for churches too, is that printing cost. You know, printing that monthly newsletter and then the mailing costs and all the machinery that is needed to produce that.
That's right. Here in Sleepy Eye, we're a good example because we went with a Google group for our school communication this year.
Oh, cool.
And so every week we're sending out our weekly newsletter via the Google group, and the kids still bring home, you know, paper attachments, a few of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them we send out via PDF if we can, but if there's, you know, things that can't be PDF, then they bring those home. But it has greatly reduced our paper consumption, and it's allowed us to have an extension of that to be in their email box if there's a school closure or a reminder about a special service at church or anything like that. We have that channel open now for communication, so it's been a real blessing.
Yeah, I downloaded an ebook the other day using Twitter in the church context. It was basically making the case for different uses of Twitter, and basically Twitter, those of you that aren't aware of it, and we'll talk more about our Twitter challenge, you know, later on in our community feedback section that we opened up last week. But one of the points that was made in the book is the use of text messaging for communicating to youth groups or to members, and a lot of our members have cell phones with text messaging already built in, another built-in communication tool where you can quickly communicate something, whether it be school closing for the day or for a snow day or change in service time or different things that you might want to communicate with your membership, and totally, you know, essentially free.
Well, that's what I was thinking. The price is right.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that we've recommended to a number of our viewers in the past, and we'll continue to do that, are services that are available at fairly low cost that allow you to build a subscription list. So you use email as that communication tool, as you were talking about with your e-newsletter. But here there are services that allow members to subscribe and unsubscribe. So you give them control and the power to get the news that they want to get or not get. And so I think that makes it a little bit more palatable. And I think the case can be made even stronger today because there has been some resistance in some congregations or schools to say, hey, I still like the paper, blah, blah, blah. But if you relate that to the cost savings that are potentially there just by receiving it via email, I think that's a pretty good argument that could be made in today's tough economic times.
I totally agree, Martin. Maybe we should jump into the next topic, and that's just doing outreach with video and audio. Mm-hmm. You alluded to that a little bit in your comments a few minutes ago, and actually our whole show, was it just last week, where we talked about using video?
Streaming video, right.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the multitude of free services that are out there for doing that. Mm-hmm. So great way to communicate, great way to reach out with the message that you have, and also, you know, welcome site visitors or teach people about your church, you know, give them an interactive way to learn about what goes on at your church, all kinds of uses for video and audio, certainly podcasting sermons and things like that. Just a great outreach tool. And again, zero cost. You need some place to put it. You need a website to host it. But you can even find those for free out on the internet. So
absolutely.
Lots of potential there.
And lots of places to post those video and audio files, even if you don't have a website. You can post them on YouTube or Google Video or many, many, many free locations that can get the word out. So great outreach tools available. We talked a little bit about that last week, and we'll continue to talk about those because I think those are really important for churches to keep in mind. Let's talk about what I call the digital lifestyle. We've talked about this in the context of time management and being good stewards of our time, but there's also a cost component here, especially when you think about printing costs and using that old laser printer, that inkjet printer. All of us know if you've got an inkjet printer, just the high cost of consumables for that thing, and I think there's some savings there if you simply discipline yourself to say, I'm not going to print. Almost anything that you get today is typically in digital format. It's in a PDF or it's in some other format that you can read on your screen. So if it's absolutely something you don't have to print, don't do it. I think you could see the savings right away for something like that. It's like turning off the light switch when you leave the room, right?
That's right. And communicating that way, you know, using PDFs, creating your own PDFs and sending to other people is a way of encouraging that economizing as well. So, mm-hmm. And there's lots of free tools for creating your own PDFs as well. So it goes two ways.
Yep, absolutely. One thing that I've heard over and over again when recessions hit and tough economic times hit is, you know, that's the good time to invest in yourself. And that may sound a little bit self-serving, but I think in the context of the church, it's important to grow and it's important to stay on top of some of these technological advancements so that they can be used for ministry purposes. So professional development is another area that you could actually save some money in, where you don't have to necessarily attend a class or even buy a book. There's a lot of free resources out there to kind of bone up on your technological skills.
Right, and I'm sure not just technological skills, but your ministerial skills as well.
Oh, for sure.
If you find the right blogs to read and things like that, you know, this whole sharing the experience, you know, being able to reach out to others through the published word on the web is a very powerful thing, and it's amazing the things that I can learn just in a 20-minute session with my RSS feeds. You know, the world is just mm-hmm. dumbfounding at this point. And if you just let a little bit of that into your life, then you're going to be growing and learning new things, learning new ways to help in these tough economic times, learning new ways to help in your ministry efforts, all of that.
Absolutely. We go to the no-brainer section, at least the way that I would view it, and that's buying things in a smart way. The Synod for a number of years now has had a procurement or purchasing program which leverages the size of the Synod and the buying power that represents to negotiate relationships with certain vendors, especially in the technology and office product space. So through our ShopWells program, shopwells.net, www.shopwells.net, we have negotiated pricing on computers, software, office products, copiers, smart boards. The list goes on and on. Just take the time to go there. And before you make a purchase, make sure that you're looking there. Now, we won't always have the absolute lowest prices, but obviously the more volume that goes through that program, the lower the prices go for us. We've had the ShopWells administrator on a couple times, Mark Robinson, to talk about some of these things, and we should have him on again soon, especially or considering, you know, the times that we're in, because it really makes a lot of sense to shop here first and just make sure you're getting the best price and the best product, obviously, so you can't give up quality, you know, even in the times that we are in. So I think that's an important consideration as we go through these times.
Yeah, it's nice to have Mark on your side. He's just kind of like somebody that comes along and does a lot of the legwork.
Oh,
for
he
you
is awesome. He will. Yeah, he will bend over backwards. It's like a personal shopper, and I wish
that's
more
right.
people would take advantage of his services. He really knows his stuff, and I think he will. If he can't find the best price for you, you know, really nobody's going to be able to do that for you. So take advantage of that, shopwells.net.
Right. And shifting from the hardware side of things to software, boy, this is where you can really hit a home run with today's Web 2.0 applications.
Oh, yeah.
And free open source software that's available for download. We're using OpenOffice here in Sleepy Eye and saved just buckets of money over using Microsoft Office for our school computer lab, you know, where we just need the kids to be able to type and do a spreadsheet. We don't mm-hmm. have to have all the bells and whistles in the world
How's that going? I meant to ask you. You've done that now for a little while, and I think you've even upgraded to the latest version. Is that working out well?
Yeah, definitely. The kids are comfortable in it. They bring their flash drives to school. They can save documents that they can take home and work on in Microsoft Office if that's what they have on their
home
computers.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so it's pretty seamless. Yeah. It's going very well.
Very good. Yeah. And there's many other open source products. We've talked about operating systems that are open source, like Linux. We've had some guests on that have talked about living in Linux, and that's obviously a free one. You need to be a little bit more technical, but I think that bar is even being lowered with each passing release. One great thing about those kinds of systems is they don't tax your hardware as much. Linux especially, so that you don't need to upgrade your entire hardware setup as often. So if you've got some aging computers that you're worried about kind of keeping up with the latest release of the operating system that you're on, whether it be Microsoft or whatever, Linux might be something to consider that will prolong that life. Although I'm hearing great things about Windows 7 these days. That the requirements on the system are lower than they were for Vista and maybe even XP. So that's good news for anybody who's hoping to keep their, you know, decent hardware around for a little bit longer.
That's right. And I wouldn't want to let this segment pass, Martin, without doing a shout-out to one of my favorite software applications on the web. It's called Picnic.
Yes.
Had a call, let's see, a week or so ago from a pastor who was struggling with getting an image to show up on his final website. And when I took a look at it, it was in TIFF format, mm-hmm. TIFF format. And that's not an image format that's supported on the final website. And so I said, oh, well, you need to just convert it to JPEG. Do you have some software to do that? And he said, nope. And I said, well, here's what you need to do. You need to go to picnic.com. That's PICNIK.com, which is just an online graphics application, basically. And there's a bunch of them out there, but this one's just very quick and easy to use, very intuitive, and just amazing to me that we can do this kind of thing on a web-based application and no software required. And
yep, I used it the other day, and you don't even need a login or a password.
Nope.
You can just mm-hmm. upload it, download it. It does exactly what you need. But this wasn't even possible, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And you had
Absolutely.
To have you had some technical expertise. That it was all a desktop experience, and here's something that you can have anywhere you go. It just does exactly what you need. So. Beautiful. So lots of tips there. If you have some tips for us, we would love to hear from you about how you're dealing with these tough economic times. We claim it's no problem, and we will stand by that. You probably have found some even better ways to make it through and maybe even work smarter and find some things that will assist you in your ministry endeavors. We'd love to hear them. Different ways to contact us. Sally, what's the best way for people to talk to us?
Well, you know what? I was just going to recommend that somebody leave us a voicemail. We'd love to include your voice in the Wells Tech podcast, and you can do that at 414-375-2334. If you're shy of leaving your voice for us, then you can send us an email at wellstech@wells.net, or just visit the Wells Tech website at wellstech.wells.net and leave us a comment right there on our show notes page.
This is really a show about our listeners. Sally and I are far from experts in many areas. In fact, I wouldn't actually claim I'm an expert in any area. So we do have listeners that have that expertise that we would love to tap. And you know, please share. I think that's why we do this, so that we can build a community of people who are willing to share their experiences. And we all win as a result. And obviously the kingdom advances. Up next, our interview. We had the chance to sit down with Pastor Darren Lindemann of Grace Lutheran Church in downtown Milwaukee, one of our founding churches of the Synod. I wouldn't even guess as to how old, probably 145, 150 years old. He is there, but he also does a little double duty. He not only serves that congregation, but he heads up the preaching coordinator duties for a ministry called Message from the Master. They recently launched a new website to advertise that. It's a series, as you'll hear in the interview, that allows different messages to go out over the airwaves on the radio, old school, of course, and then also now new school because they're making those available on the web. So let's listen to our conversation with Pastor Darren Lindemann from Message from the Master. Joining us today is Pastor Darren Lindemann from Grace Lutheran Church in downtown Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And also, I'm not sure if I've got the title right, Darren, but you're kind of in charge of Message from the Master, correct?
Preaching Coordinator.
Preaching Coordinator. I knew there was a title in there someplace.
Of course.
Thank you for joining us, Darren. Darren and I go back a little ways when I was down in Charleston, and he was just up the road, my nearest neighbor in Irmo, wasn't it? Or Columbus or Columbia, yeah. Whatever it was down there, but literally a couple hour drive down in the sparse regions of Wells, the outer districts of the Wells. So, but we're both back in Milwaukee enjoying the beautiful weather, and Darren, you got yourself involved with a large church there and with a ministry that is of interest, I think, to our listeners, and that's a radio ministry called Message from the Master.
Yes, I don't have enough to do here at Grace.
Yeah, I figured.
I'd find a few other things to put on my plate, but very much enjoy being involved with the Milwaukee Federation of Wells Churches and their program, Message from the Master.
So tell us a little bit about what Message of the Master is, maybe how it got its start.
It's a program meant to bring the message of God's Word, not just to Lutherans, but to anyone interested in listening. Back when it got its start, I believe the radio program that exists now, the Lutheran Radio Hour, was already in existence or being planned. And so this is back in 1976, and some of the first pastors involved in Message from the Master were Wynn Nominson and Jeb Schaefer, actually, and Ralph Wessendorf, who is still on our preaching staff.
Okay.
And so it was in 1976, and they wanted to reach beyond a Lutheran crowd and to do it on the radio. So they started in this makeshift recording studio in a furniture warehouse owned by Fritz Dinesen, who was a member here at Grace.
Mm, okay.
And Ralph Wessendorf comments that they had to stop recording while furniture was being unloaded in quite a loud manner, or they would hear that on the radio. So they had an initial intent to reach beyond Lutheran circles and to do it on the radio here in Milwaukee.
And it transitioned, as I recall, when I was serving here in Milwaukee, and I did a couple of those. I remember recording, was it out of WLC at the time? Does it record there now?
That would be Lutheran Radio Hour.
Ah, different. Okay.
Well, right. That's,
okay. Totally
right.
Different.
So though. Eventually, the recording for Message from the Master did end up at WLC in their recording studio in this little black box area back by the theater. The Lutheran Radio broadcast, I believe, records in the Schwann Concert Hall, has choir and everything with it, right? And they use a number of local Wells pastors as preachers.
Okay.
Message from the Master has a staff of six Wells pastors that share in the rotation on a regular basis.
And that airs on what station? And isn't it only local here in Milwaukee?
WJYI. 1340 a.m.
Okay.
And Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. is the Music for the Master program, which capsulizes the church year readings for that Sunday of the church year, hosted by Professor Mark Brown, along with some music. And then 15, 20 minutes later, Message from the Master broadcasts with our sermon for the day, which is not related to the readings for the Sunday.
Okay. And how do you have any idea of listenership at this point?
We used to have a good idea when we were on an FM station. They had Arbitron ratings that we could tune into and figure out how many listeners we had. And at that time, when we were on FM in Milwaukee, we had about 1,000 listeners, we figured, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're on AM, we don't have the ability to judge our listenership at all. But
okay.
Anecdotally, and getting an impression of how AM relates to FM, I would guess that because we, for financial reasons, had to go on an AM station, we're probably at less than half of our listenership. So mm-hmm. I would guess we're around 400 or 500 people right now.
And you mentioned the format of the show or the ministry. How do you determine programming? Do you pick texts that are from that Sunday's lectionary, or are they topical, or how do you approach that? And I assume that's your responsibility.
Because our programming is purposely different than the Christian church here,
mm-hmm.
and meant to be a supplement. So one of the pieces of our audience would be Lutherans who are going to church on that Sunday, and we don't want to necessarily repeat the sermon that they heard. So we choose a topical sermon series, and so we usually steer away from the Christian church year readings, the lectionary for that Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're much more topical as the basis for our series. That could be a doctrine, angels, for example, baptism. That could be a book of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We've preached through Proverbs recently. We preached through Colossians and Hebrews. Or that could be simply a contemporary hot topic that we address. We're doing an upcoming series on families and family roles. The Lord Provides was a recent series on God's providence. So the texts that we choose for those then are arranged by me as I put the series together and then assign various texts from Scripture to the various preachers in series that last usually 6 to 10 or 11 Sundays.
Okay.
Pastor Lindemann, I'm out here in Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, so I'm not able to tune
Wonderful.
In to you on the radio. Yes, but I'm excited to see that you have a website. I'm guessing the guys back in 1976 wouldn't have dreamed of Message from the Master having a global outreach, but can you tell us a little bit about your new website and what you're trying to achieve there on the web?
The website presence actually began over a year and a half ago, and we somewhat saw the handwriting on the wall as we saw that our listenership was decreasing here in the Milwaukee area. And we also just had a desire to reach more people than those who live in Milwaukee, and an internet presence just made sense with the ability to upload files and to download files. We could put our sermons on the web and make it work. And so the planning for that began, and now it's turning out to be a blessing because we're looking at a very serious possibility that the radio broadcast itself in Milwaukee may disappear soon in that the Federation may not be able to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
But for a very cost-effective presence, we can be there on the Internet with our website. So planning began, and we connected with Final Web to put the website together. And now it's a done deal. It's launched, and on the website, we have sermons available as audio downloads as MP3 files or as printed downloads as PDF files. We also just began posting Bible studies that are free to the public based on each sermon of the week. To download the sermons, you need to have a paid login subscription.
So you've definitely found a niche there on the web, and I visited your website today and see that you're offering some free services right now for a limited time to give people a taste of what you have to offer.
That's based on feedback we received initially when, admittedly, one of the reasons that we went to the website was that it could create some revenue that would allow us to continue our programming, even if that's only on the Internet. And so we needed to charge a subscription fee. A number of people told us they can go to other sites and receive sermons free. Why should they pay for ours? I believe there is benefit in ours in that they're topically arranged and you know who you're getting them from on a regular basis with our preaching staff. But yes, we went to offer on the website some free sermons. So you can have a login subscription that's free for 30 days and allows you sermon downloads of any variety, so that people can look at those downloads and see the product we have to offer and then decide whether they want to pay a login fee or not. And we've just slashed the prices and cut those in half because of the economy doing what it is and because we probably won't be paying for the radio ministry anymore. We can offer those half-price options to people.
And what is the cost right now, Darren?
There are various costs depending on how you want to receive the sermon. So there can be anything from receiving a PDF file of a sermon via email for as little as $2 a month,
mm-hmm.
to a login subscription that used to be $60 for a year, now would be $30. And there's other options. You can receive MP3 files that are burned onto a CD and sent to you as a kit for the entire series. So people can go on our website and go to the Get the Message tab, and they'll find the various options that are available for receiving sermons.
So who do you think is your primary audience at this point on the website? Have you got a profile yet of maybe the typical website visitor, or is it still too new?
It's still pretty new. I believe we're dealing right now with people who are mostly familiar with us, and those would be Lutherans and probably a lot of them in the Milwaukee area. We've done some advertising to Wells congregations throughout the country, and we've had some response for anywhere from Arizona to Delaware. So there are people in the Wisconsin Synod who are becoming more familiar with us. We certainly hope to go worldwide and to have an appeal to all Christians everywhere around the world, that they would be interested in our message that we have and see that as supplemental to their Sunday worship, or perhaps for some of them as the only way that they connect to a message from Scripture. So our goal is to go beyond the Wells and even beyond Lutheranism with our message and take it to whoever will listen.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Sally.
Well, I was just going to say it's really exciting to hear. I'm guessing it'll take some time for those kind of things to develop. I'm wondering if you have future plans beyond that.
Currently, the next step for the website is structurally and technically quite set. Now we need just to get that message out to everybody. So we have promotional plans. We're doing what we can to accomplish advertising without paying too much at this point. But as some donations come in and as fees come in, we're looking to get into some paid advertising and exactly what it is, I don't know at this point. But after that, we see the next phase of the website including some kind of video in some way. Short segments, 1-3 minute segments highlighting that week's message. Who would record them and who would be in them? I don't know at this point. But we see video as a very popular medium and would like to apply that to Message from the Master.
Certainly makes sense. I think the economies that are available now with video and audio and of decent quality, and then the distribution channels are very free at this point or very low cost, make this a viable ministry. So I think there's lots of possibilities there, especially if you've got great content, and that's, I think, your primary goal is to make sure that, you know, what is on the airways is really rock solid.
When you compare the cost-effective nature of internet ministry and programming on a website compared to our radio ministry, it's just a no-brainer. I mean, you can reach so many more people on the World Wide Web than you can with a local radio broadcast, and mm-hmm. yet the local radio broadcast was costing us more than an internet presence.
Yeah.
So I feel real good about the fact that we're using our money wisely. People are still sending donations or paying for their login fees, and we're using that money wisely, and even with less, we're accomplishing more. So we look forward to God really touching that with blessing and reaching more people around the world.
Yeah, and last week's show, Sally and I were just talking about the reach that is now available to the world at very low cost. And here's an example of a Milwaukee Federation of Lutheran churches here thinking globally, saying, hey, we're not just in the Milwaukee market, but we have the ability to share God's word with people all over the world. And that's an exciting thing to be able to think that you could do that, whereas, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, really not possible.
And it's inspiring, too, as the Federation is admittedly struggling a little financially. There's somewhat of an intangible around Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody knows who they are and what they're up to.
Right.
And yet, even as they struggle there, the Federation is not giving up. The board said, listen, we don't want to cut this program. We want to do what we can. And instead of just limping along, they're making a leap of faith, I think, in that internet presence.
Mm-hmm. Now, what Milwaukee Federation does other things, too, as well. Aren't they involved with the state fair and things like that?
Correct. The Federation has a number of ministries, the largest of which is the campus ministry.
Right.
On the campus of UW-Milwaukee. They've done some facility arrangements and upgrades. They pay for a full-time campus pastor. So that's their biggest ministry. But they're trying to do a lot, and discovering they may not be able to do everything, so they're having to make some difficult choices at this time. We're hoping, as a message from the Master, that long-term, we will not need to rely on Federation funding at all, and that we can totally fund an internet presence with the subscription fees and with donations. Mm-hmm. Our goal would be someday to be back on the radio. Where that might be, maybe that's Milwaukee, maybe that's elsewhere. But for now, we're doing a little bit of restabilizing and still reaching people in the process.
Very good.
I guess I'd be remiss in not asking about your experience with Final Web. For our listeners who aren't familiar with Final Web, Final Web is a vendor who the Synod has contracted with to get special rates for church and organizations associated with Wells to have a web presence. And I'm looking at your website, and it's really professional looking and just really exciting to see. And I'm wondering, you know, what your impressions are of the Final Web experience.
Well, thank you for seeing that it's professional looking, and none of that has to do with me. So I joke with Martin when he asked me to do this interview, as long as listeners would understand that I am a pastor tech dummy and have no knowledge whatsoever about how to put a website together. But that's actually a testimony to how user-friendly the Final Web experience was. And I work mostly with Alyssa, who helped us set up the website. And I felt very well guided along the way. There were numerous menu of options that I could choose from when we set up the site, from the look of the site, from format. I provided most of the content, but there were just so many options that allowed the site to be set up exactly for our ministry needs. It's a cost-effective way to do ministry, and we ended up with a product, like you said, Sally, that looks very professional and allows people to get the message, which is what we're all about. So I felt very good about it, and even in follow-up, I've needed to tweak some sections, or when I'm in there editing, which I can do because of the user-friendly administration tool, I've had a few questions, and Alyssa has been by my side along the entire way with technical support as well.
The way Alyssa works for web services here in the Synod Administration Building, and if there are organizations interested in contracting some of those services, those are available. So I guess the best thing we can do here is encourage people to go to the site, subscribe if they want some good Lutheran sermons that are topical, probably very timely and well done, and those are available at a very low cost for $30 for an entire year's worth of that stuff, and you get it how you like it, however you want it delivered. What is the website address, Darren?
It is www.messagefromthemaster.com.
Very easy. So all you listeners, spread the word, and we can keep this ministry going at a very low cost and be blessed by it as well. Thank you, Darren, for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, pleasure. Sally, it was very good of Darren to take some time out of his busy schedule to speak with us about an exciting ministry, something that's been going on for a long time here in Milwaukee, but they've kind of entered into or embarked on a new channel for them.
Yeah, probably the best interview we could have come up with to go along with our discussion topic, because mm-hmm. basically they're taking a step back like a ninja,
right,
and looking at different opportunities and different channels for the message. And it's exciting to see the professionalism of their new website. I think our listeners will be quite impressed if they go check it out.
Yeah. an apology for the sound quality of that interview. We did a kind of a lousy connection with Darren there, but we did the best we can. I, again, as I mentioned before the interview, I claimed that I was not an expert in most anything, and audio engineering is one of those areas. So I did the best I can, but hopefully you'll bear with us. And some are going to be better than others, but I think it was listenable. And again, thanks to Darren for spending the time with us. Our picks of the week. Sally, your pick.
Well, I have a brand new favorite Web 2.0 application. I bragged about Picnic earlier, and now I'm going to point our listeners to lovelycharts.com. Lovely Charts is a free online charting tool. You can do all kinds of diagrams, flow charts, organization charts, that kind of thing, and it's all for free. And really professional looking output. Mm-hmm. If you're someone who wishes you had Microsoft Visio for doing a lot of charting and things, this is a great alternative to that. The free account allows you to save just one of your charts that you've drawn, but you can export as many as you can draw on there. So you can just create them and export them in a JPEG format and have a copy of your chart and then create a new one. So it's just kind of a cycle that you have to go through because you can only store one on the on the server there.
Right.
They do have paid accounts that have unlimited storage, allow for some collaboration and things like that, even versioning version history as part of that. But I had a little challenge when I was trying to look up the price for their paid accounts because it's a Belgium-based company, and so all their amounts are stored in euros, 12 months for 29 euros. And I don't know the current currency conversion rate there. So
Google can help you out with that, you know.
Yeah, I should try that. Anyway, I think you'd be impressed with lovelycharts.com. It's very easy to use, very professional output, and maybe the best word to describe it is just lovely. So check it out.
You did send me a couple samples, and they really look awesome, and it sounds like it's very simple to do, drag and drop kind of a thing, and I can think of a lot of applications for a tool like that. Thanks, Sally. Lovelycharts.com. My pick is I'm not quite sure how to describe this, Sally. It's a blogging site, but they've kind of ratcheted it down to almost its simplest form. It's called Tumblr, minus the e.com, TUMBLR.com. In typical Web 2.0 fashion, they pull a vowel out here or there and just to grab a URL. It's been around for a little while. I got reinvigorated with it. I had set up an account a long time ago and didn't do much with it. They've made some nice improvements to it, but essentially it's a blog that can aggregate or pull together your life, your digital life. And that's kind of what I've done on my site. If you go to sprigs.tumblr.com, and you can actually point your regular domain, if you've got your own domain name, you can point it to that if you want people to go there. But it will allow you to aggregate your Twitter feed, your blog. If you have a blog, you can actually have that, suck that in. You can post individual blog feeds or blog comments if you want to use that just exclusively for blogging. You can tie it to your Flickr account, your YouTube account. Basically, your digital life online can be brought together in this one location. And there's all kinds of templates, and some of them are very Spartan, and that's kind of the intent. You basically build what's called a Tumblelog, T-U-M-B-L-E-L-O-G, which is actually a Wikipedia entry. If you just do a search on Tumblelog, it'll kind of give you the rundown on what that exactly is. But basically, it's a chronological listing of things that are going on in your life that you're either blogging about, you're posting pictures, you're referencing quotes or sites or links. And it all just goes in a chronological order, and you scroll through it. And anybody that's interested in kind of following you, they can subscribe via RSS feed. And that all comes in to your RSS view or whatever it is. For instance, I've subscribed my Tumblelog to our Wells Tech podcast. So anytime we post a Wells Tech podcast, that's going to go up on my Tumblelog. I view it as an evangelical or outreach kind of tool. As people are surfing around and they stumble on my Tumblr account, they're going to see what's important to me. And I think that's an important thing to think about when you're online through these social networks, is what do people find when they come and read about you and what you're doing? And obviously a lot of what I'm doing is ministry related, and I think that's a message that I'd like to send. So free, doesn't cost anything. It works. It's so simple. You just press a button and you type or you link, And it was really invented for people who didn't want to invest the time into a full-fledged blog and who maybe were just more interested in sound bites and creating a sentence or a link or, you know, just kind of a miscellaneous collection of different things in your digital life. So Tumblr.com.
I love how it pulls everything together in one place because we can get so disjointed with all these different channels.
Oh, yeah. You can have your Facebook page and your Twitter account and your LinkedIn and Flickr. And holy cow,
yep.
you could spend your entire day just updating all your stuff on 10 different sites. This kind of brings it all together. So
that's nice.
Very cool. So give it a shot. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. So check it out.
Very good.
Wells.net feature of the week.
Well, today I wanted to point our listeners to another podcast that's been around for about maybe 6 months or so now. It's a monthly podcast done by the Parents Crosslink website. And we'll include links in our show notes to where you can listen to the podcast on our Streams Media Network, as well as read about the podcast on the Parents Crosslink website. Basically, they're covering topics that are an extension of the articles in the Parents Crosslink little newsletter that comes out on a quarterly basis. And if you aren't familiar with Parents Crosslink, you definitely want to check out the website for more about the topics and things that are covered there. It's a great resource for our parents to just be uplifted and supported in the important work that they have of raising godly children. They've done podcasts on tired teens, helping children understand God's presence, helping children become excited about worship and Bible study and prayer. And their most recent podcast was really interesting and actually kind of ties to our topic today, Martin. They talked about materialism. The title was "He Who Dies with the Most Still Dies." And they had a speaker on, Vera Ellen Cook, who talked about how parents can help their children understand that it's not all about, you know, having the latest gadget or the designer clothes or whatever. It was very well done and worth the listen. Most are about 25 minutes long. They bring on Ken Kramer, who's the Parents Crosslink editor for Western Publishing House, and Dr. Joel Nelson, who's in the Youth Discipleship Office at Wells, and always have a guest as well to talk about the topic of the day. So I think it's worth a listen. Check it out.
Yeah, our member of our podcast network here on Wells, our podcasting partners there. They do they do other things too. So, up next, our community feedback. We had a lot of people talking to us this week, didn't we, Sally?
Yeah, that's what we like. Yep. We heard from Pastor Krish Kajnitsky. He's at Christus in Delavan, Wisconsin, and he listened to our last show about video opportunities on the website, and he introduced a video sermon to his website just this past week. So he's very timely with our topic and doing it, and maybe he'll share a little bit more about, you know, how he's making that happen, what kind of equipment and things he's using in a future show. I tried to get back in touch with him and see if we can get some details on how well it's working for him.
Yep, very good.
Yep. We also, I think it was you, Martin, that was asking a question out on the Wells Tech listserv,
right,
about electronic banking options.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that a lot of people are using Thrivent for this service.
Right. That was. I had a question from the field, and I said, well, the best place to ask that question is the good folks of our Wells Tech listserv, and we got good feedback as usual. They were looking for alternatives, actually, to the Thrivent Simply Giving program, because Thrivent's going to start charging a transaction fee for that automated giving function that they have and they've made available to congregations. And it's kind of a bad news, good news scenario where there aren't a lot of alternate services that are free for this. One of the great pieces of advice, if your congregation is looking to offer your members an automated giving approach, which is great because you keep that consistent giving, you know, that offering flowing even when people are gone or on vacation or whatever, when they tend maybe not to, you know, remember to come back and continue to contribute to the church's ministry, is to check with your local bank. Many of our congregations have relationships with their local bank, and maybe there are programs available through them that the membership of your congregation can take advantage of, sometimes for low or no cost as well. So you're building a local community relationship, but you're also offering a service to your membership. So that was the big takeaway. I think if people have further feedback on other services that are out there that allow for automated giving to a particular charity, I would still love to hear about that. So participate in the Wells Tech Listserv or communicate directly with us.
That's right. And Martin, I guess you were kind of on a kick there. You were looking at the listserv for other purposes as well. You sent out a message about a presentation that you're working on outreach.
Right. I was asked to write this next year's congregational workshop through evangelism. I've entitled it Outreach in a Digital World. And the concept of the workshop, it's a half-day session that our Commission on Evangelism runs across the country. And next year they wanted to focus on how technology can be used in outreach. And so I was just looking for ideas from our listeners on innovative ways that technology is used. So no different than kind of what we talk about on this podcast from time to time. How are you using technology? We got a great response from a former staff member here, Steve Zambo, who worked in our mass media our media ministry department here at Wells, and the top of his post was, I think, kind of revealing and very well written. He said, "Outreach in a digital world, go where the people are." And boy, that resonates with me as well, because I think that's what technology allows us to do. Rather than this come and see strategy, it's a go and tell strategy, and technology allows us to do that by getting our message out there through these technological tools. He mentions YouTube, Facebook, Ustream. Many of these very free resources. So I think there's a lot of wisdom in what he's saying. So if you've got other ideas, I'd still love to hear those, and we can incorporate those into the workshop as well. Thanks, Steve, for responding. And I'll get a couple other responses, too, that I'll share later.
You know, Martin, I'm wondering if maybe we could even do something on the Wells Tech Wiki that focuses on some of the points that you're including in your workshop.
Oh, absolutely,
maybe,
yeah.
You know, try to capture it there as well. So,
in fact, in the workshop, I do reference the wellstech.wetpaint.com wiki as a resource. If you want to know how to video stream or how to audio podcast, go to the wiki and you'll find some good tips and tricks and step-by-steps there. So if our listeners are interested, that's a great place to go.
Absolutely. All right. Last week we talked about our Twitter accounts, Martin. We kind of came out of the closet with who we were out there on Twitter and invited our listeners to follow us and allow us to follow them, and also to mark Wells Tech Conversations with a special syntax. The pound Wells Tech would allow it to be part of our Wells Tech Conversation RSS feed, basically, and we could kind of talk to each other that way. And we had some responses. I was really excited.
Yep.
Right off the bat, we heard from Missionary Morcourt down in Brazil, who was the first to respond with the pound Wells Tech Conversation. Thanks for that. And we heard from others, Alan Bunt and Gail Potratz, and also heard from John Simonson directly about some different issues, and he's one of our listeners as well and someone we're following. So nice to hook up with these Twitterers, and hopefully there'll be more that join us out on Twitter and partake in the Wells conversation as well.
For those that still want to get involved, remember Pound Wells Tech would actually feed our RSS conversation on Twitter. So if you have something that you'd like us to talk about or bring to our attention, that would be a great way to do it. Also, you can find us on Twitter, M. Spriggs, very creatively, is my handle on Twitter. And Sally, yours?
Mine is Wells Tech Trainer.
Okay,
so
equally as creative.
Look for me.
I'm probably a little more creative, actually. So find us on Twitter, and we would love to hear from you that way.
Okay. Next, Martin, I wanted to talk about some feedback we got from Dan Smith. He's out at Holy Trinity in Des Moines, Washington. I love the Washington connection. We hear a lot from the West Coast and our friends in Washington. And Dan is running the Evergreen Lutheran High School store, or, where you would buy your school t-shirts and things like that. I guess you'd call it a store.
Yep.
Anyway, and he was wondering about our Cafe Press store, which is something we haven't talked about for a while on the show, but something that we have featured in our sidebar of our Wells Tech show notes page, where you can actually buy Wells Tech t-shirts and baby bibs and clocks and all kinds of creative things. And what Dan was looking at was going with that kind of an option for the Evergreen Lutheran High School store, where they don't have to maintain a lot of inventory. And he was just really wondering how it was going for us and what the process was like. Cafe Press is a free service. You can upload your own graphics and pick what you'd like them printed on, and then just make it available on your website, and people can order directly from Cafe Press. So you don't have any expensive inventory. We've ordered several things for various reasons and just been real happy with the quality of the products that they have. And even they support gift certificates, where we've had different contests and things on the show in the past and been able to give away gift certificates so that people can just use that to shop in our Wells Tech store.
Yep.
Dan said, by the way, you've never tried to sell me a coffee cup on your podcast, so I'm just wondering if anybody out there wants a Wells Tech coffee cup, because we have two styles available. You should check it out. It's at cafepress.com/WellsTech.
Very good.
Yep.
And last but not least,
we heard from Pastor John Borgwart, who's at Risen Savior in Pooler, Georgia. And Pastor Borgwart was actually looking for a slick way to do mass email, something that's very professional looking, kind of like the Together newsletter that we use at the Synod. Mm-hmm. And I pointed him back to episode 26 of the Wells Tech podcast, where we talked about mass email options, some of the ones we mentioned at the beginning of the show, and a couple that we didn't specifically mention. Eye Contact and Constant Contact are both web-based tools where you can create HTML email newsletters and push them out to a group of people. So if you're looking for a mass email solution, you might want to check out episode 26.
Thank you to all our contributors. Keep those feedbacks coming. Sally mentioned a number of ways to communicate with us, so go to the website and use one of those, and we will address your issue, your comment, whatever, on the show. Coming up next week on Wells Tech, we will be joined by our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, Gail Potratz, from New London, Wisconsin Emmanuel Lutheran Church up there in school. And we will be talking about school technology planning. Obviously, you need a plan if you want to effectively and efficiently introduce technology into the curriculum or introduce it into the administrative happenings of your particular school. And this could apply to churches as well. And we're going to just talk about how to get your head screwed on straight as it relates to what to do. You know, do you need a committee? Who should be on the committee? What kinds of things should they be thinking about? What kind of planning tools should you use? Just where do you start? Because I think that's a head-scratcher for a lot of schools and principals. We know we need to get more involved with technology and use it effectively, but where do we start? So tune in next week for a conversation about school technology planning with Gail. And finally, Sally, let's close our show. First of all, thank again all of our listeners for joining us. We will be listening to the Music of Revelation, the WLC group, Beautiful Voices, their album Led by the Light, the song You Are the God. Again, thanks everybody for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. God.